Greetings, everyone. It's great to have you with us again this week, and we are again blessed to have Chris Morgan with us, and we're going through his book, Playing Chase with God. Chris, great to have you with us, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Last week we were talking about the need to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with your prayer life. If you don't show up, there is nothing else that will develop with your relationship through prayer if you don't show up. So this week, Chris, what is the next part of the equation?
Well, here's what we all know. We all know that in relationship building, which is the primary metaphor of the book, like we all know more about prayer than we think we do because we all know something about building important relationships. And
certainly,
when we take those lessons and we apply them to talking to God, then all kinds of illumination begins to pop up. But the very first one, you just said it, we talked about it last time, was showing up. Nothing magical can happen relationally if you stop showing up or if you never show up.
Yes, sir.
But here's what we all know. Right. Showing up alone is not enough. Right, because you can show up and it can just be obligatory.
Right.
You can just do it like because you think you're supposed to.
Mama told me to pray and I'll.
Right. Yeah. So you can show up.
But you're not engaged.
But you're not engaged. And so what's the next step? So it's a good way to think about it. It's like what's the baseline sort of starting place, like the first step on the stair step, if you will, is to show up.
Mm-hmm.
But next is open up.
Right.
Simple. I mean, truly.
Right.
Truly. Like I said, if you've built relationship in your life, then you already know how this works. You just probably failed to apply it to your pursuit of God. So we show up, then we open up.
Right.
But when we arrive at this idea of opening up, like how do you open your heart to God?
Right.
Like we all sort of know what that means, but it's like, have we dissected it? Have we done surgery on it to go like, well, how does that take place?
Right.
And it's when I got to this part of writing the book, I sort of came up with this way of saying it because it just felt like it brought sort of a magnifying glass importance to this moment in the book. It's this thing that I call the secret of prayer.
Yes, sir.
So the secret of prayer is that prayer is not about prayer.
Uh-huh.
The secret of prayer is that prayer is not about prayer. It's actually about presence.
Excellent.
Me bringing my presence before God, but for the purposes of actually experiencing His presence, or you could say His person.
Yes, sir.
So it's this idea of like, I can show up, but if no relational connection actually takes place, I missed the point.
Yes, sir.
Like I did the exercise of prayer. I used the tool of prayer, but I missed the point of prayer. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a little bit like, I think I use this metaphor as well in the book, but it's like a ladder. Think about a ladder. A ladder is completely a means to an end.
Certainly.
It's like a ladder sitting on the side of my house collecting dust and leaves and spiders is pretty useless. It's a nothing, right?
Correct. Correct.
But when I use it according to its established purpose, it can be all important. Let's just say that I decided, well, you like guitars, so I won't use money. I'll use guitars.
Okay.
I built the guitar you've wanted your whole life, or I found the guitar you've wanted your whole life, and I put it in the ceiling. I hit it in the ceiling, and it's 20 feet in the air.
Right.
Well, at that point, and basically if I go like the first one to get to it can have it.
Right.
How important is the ladder? The
Excellent.
Ladder's pretty important now. Why? Because I have a means to an end.
Yes, sir.
It's not the ladder.
Right.
It's not the point. The point is that there's a really cool guitar in the ceiling. Right. I'm going to be the first one to get to it.
Right.
So in realizing this opportunity, invitation from God, which is just staggering when you think about it. It's like the creator of all things is willing to go like, hey, Joe, come.
Right.
Come and know me. Well,
yes.
Now I go like, well, how am I going to do that? Well, it turns out I've got a ladder.
Right.
What is my ladder in prayer? What is my ladder to realize the invitation of God? It is prayer. Prayer's the tool. Prayer's the ladder. Prayer's the thing I can use to get where I need to get to.
Yes, sir.
In doing that, though, so when I say the secret to prayer is prayer's not about prayer. It's not about the tool. It's about His presence and about me ultimately having the experience, getting into the experience of knowing him, engaging him.
Yes, sir.
Then I have to ask myself the question, well, what are the things that keep me on the path to opening up with God? Because anybody that's ever been in a really long-term friendship, let's say, or marriage is always a great metaphor for understanding how prayer works.
Right.
If you've been married and you've been married for a long time, you understand that what seemed to be effortless in the beginning, this opening up,
right,
that seemed to be effortless then, over time, becomes taken for granted and crusted over, and it just becomes more difficult.
Sure.
So the same thing can easily happen in my pursuit of God, my chasing of God.
Right.
So how do we plumb the things, the avenues that keep me opening up? And they're in the book, and we don't need to spend all the time unpacking them all because it would go way too long. But like,
right.
Here's what I do know. You know, I think I said last time that, you know, I grew up in a house where praying was normative. We were church-going family.
Right.
The presence of God or the existence of God was just assumed as a reality, you know?
Right. Uh-huh.
But for prayer, I didn't test drive it pretty much at all.
Right.
Until I was 16.
Yes, sir.
And when I was 16, I had pain sufficient enough happen in my life that I kind of just went like, well, I've heard
right.
that right. we can pray and that there's some pretty significant promises that are attached to that endeavor.
Right.
Let me give it a test drive.
Right.
Now, here's the important piece. This is 16-year-old me. I went to God in prayer, and I went to him, you know, hauling my particular pain at that point, and what I was really looking for was for relief.
Sure, sure.
Pain. I actually had a whole set of circumstances that I was going to him to go like, hey, here's what I need you to do.
Right.
Because this is
right.
what's causing the pain. If you'll do X, Y, Z, I'll be good.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I did is I went to him with my request, which, by the way, prayer is made for my request. Nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But here's what I discovered. Right. What I discovered is there was someone in the conversation. I discovered somebody on the other side
Excellent.
Was present.
Yes, sir.
You want to talk about something that's life-changing. That's life-changing.
Amen.
That
Amen.
When you actually go to God, who you've heard about, in churches, you've been in plenty of services, heard tons of sermons. He's been talked about. But you've never really tried on those boots for yourself.
Yes, sir.
You come to that important moment in your life and you go like, oh, well, let me try this. And he's there.
Amen.
And I don't know how to describe that other than just like, I just became aware that somebody else was in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
Like, it's not like I heard a voice or that, but I did feel the sense. But somebody else is here.
You feel it. You feel it. And it's the same thing with earthly relationships. You feel that relationship.
That's right.
You feel it. And even though you went to the Lord with a need, a want list.
That's right.
As your initial prayer, he was there. And it was because you opened up with your needs and you established a personal relationship at that point.
Yeah. I would say this. I would say, like, and this is what we're plumbing or what we're pulling to the surface is, what's the repeated motivation for me being able to open to God?
Right.
It's my understanding that somebody is there. Like,
yes,
God
sir.
Is actually there. A person is there. I have the prospect or the possibility that when I go to him, I'm going to encounter him.
Amen.
And when I believe that, or first experience it, then you come to believe it. And once you, this is just true. It's true for me anyway. It's like once I experienced that, I was ruined.
Right. Right.
I mean, I was. I was ruined because everything else that earth had to offer me, as good as a lot of them were, they were all going to fall a little bit short of that idea that I could go to him and he's there.
Amen.
And then what is that? That has all kinds of orbits that spin off of that. Like once I come to believe or experience, there's somebody actually there.
Yes, sir.
Well, then it spins off things like, okay, anticipation.
Right.
So now around this idea of the tool of prayer, I have now an expectation that when I go there, something more is going to happen than just repeated patterns of religious prayer that I've heard other people say or whatever.
Right.
And then what else? So anticipation, we could spend more time talking about some of these, but I'm just highlighting some of them real quick.
Right.
But like anticipation, authenticity, I realized if somebody's there, right, he's a real somebody, and he's, so it maybe it
makes prayer authentic at that point because there is a reason for it.
Say that again?
It makes prayer authentic because it works. Because there is somebody
there. There's somebody there. Yeah, it's not just, I'm not just talking and hearing my words bounce off the ceiling, but sure, I've come to realize that there's somebody else engaging. And this is what the next thing it spins off is, right, authenticity.
Yes, sir.
So now I realize that I don't just have an anticipation that somebody's going to meet me, but now I realize, just like in marriage, how important is authenticity? Like that's when the true opening up happens, the mutual understanding happens in the context of authenticity. And this goes back, I think it's something we said in the last episode of the podcast, where, right, Jesus invited the little children to him.
Right.
He said, don't pray like the Pharisees, the religious guys. He said, maybe more like the kids. Well, here's what we know, right, about kids.
Right.
Kids know authenticity, and this is how we know. They know how to say what they want.
Yes, sir.
What their opinion is,
right,
and tell you how they feel about it.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that is all that prayer is built for.
Right.
I'm just saying that it opens the relational doors between me and God when I come authentic, which simply means I know how to say what I want,
right,
what I think,
yes, sir,
and process how I feel.
Amen. Amen. Prayer is so important. But there's more to it than just an obligatory
religious
repetition.
Engagement.
You're not praying to hear yourself pray. You're not praying for others to hear you pray.
Yeah.
You're praying to the one on the other side,
yeah,
that relation that you have with your Creator.
Yeah.
And it's authentic because prayer works. There's more to it, and I want everyone to enjoy the knowledge that's available to them as well. Now, Uncle Chris, tell us a little something about this book and where we might find a copy of it.
It's on that little store, Amazon.com.
I've heard of it.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Playing Chase with God and Chris Morgan. And if you look for it that way, you should be able to find it. And here's what I can tell you. You know, I'll just say this really quick. Like when I first wrote it, I wrote it to get it out the door in the sense of I had to be okay with it enough to, like, nobody else may like it, but I could look at it and go like, well, it's what I think.
Yes, sir.
So that was the first thing. But then when people actually begin to read it, I started getting feedback.
Right.
So here's what I know now.
Yes, sir.
From the feedback that I've gotten. Uh-huh. If you care about building history with God, if you care about building a life with Him,
right,
if you'll read it and you engage what it's saying, it'll help you.
Excellent.
So I didn't always feel that way.
Right.
I feel that way now because I've just seen enough people who've come back who've read it and they've gone like, okay.
Right. Excellent.
It works.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to next week, and we'll get a little bit further into the book. Thanks, Chris. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Joe.
You bet.